Mark's Gospel, chapter 6. And our text is found there in verse 48. As we continue our series tonight on the great night scenes of Scripture. In verse 48, the Lord Jesus saw them, his disciples, toiling and rowing. For the wind was contrary unto them. And about the fourth watch of the night, he cometh unto them, walking upon the sea, and would have passed by them. Let me just refresh your minds what we have already covered in the study of this particular night scene in Galilee's waters. We considered this night scene and the disciples in the absence of the Savior. The Lord had constrained his disciples to get into the ship and to go to Bethsaida while he sent the multitudes away. We considered the travelers had been constrained. They did not want to go. They did not want to leave and enter into the ship and cross over Galilee. They didn't want to go without Christ in the vessel. But the Lord constrained them. Sometimes the Lord gives us a work to do. Sometimes the Lord sends us to a place to serve Him. And in our heart of hearts, we don't want to go. But the Lord brings us to the place where, by His word, He constrains us. We can do nothing else. So it was with the disciples. They could do nothing else but go. The Lord constrained them to go. We noticed also the tempest. As the disciples rowed their boat to the other side, they found themselves engulfed in a great tempest. Matthew says, Matthew 14:24, but the ship was now in the midst of the sea, tossed with waves, for the wind was contrary. I wonder what thoughts went through the minds of the disciples. They were in the midst of the sea. Were they discussing the Lord's word to them to go over to the other side? Why, if they obeyed the command of the Lord, did they find themselves in the midst of this storm? Were they doubting the Lord's will for them? Surely this cannot be the Lord's will, they may have said. That we are left alone in the midst of this sea, in the middle of this storm. This can't be the Lord's will. Sometimes in God's work, when we've been constrained by the Lord to do a certain thing or serve the Lord in a certain way or go to a certain place in obedience to the Lord, we find ourselves engulfed by a storm and the doubts arise and we say, oh, this can't be the Lord's will. I must have made a mistake. I'm sure thoughts like that were going through the minds of the disciples. Were they also disillusioned by the Lord's way for them? Had they not looked back and said, why did we ever leave the safety of the shore? I'm sure they expected an easier course across the Sea of Galilee. And we're just like the disciples. We're no different. Sometimes when we take the step of faith and we venture out, as the Lord commands us, launch out into the deep, and we launch out into the deep. And things don't go the way we expected, and we say, why did we ever leave the safety of the shore? Happens all the time. Storms of doubt, the storms of difficulty, the storms of disappointment, the storms of defeat, the storms of despair blow against us. Then you have their trouble. We considered their trouble. The disciples found themselves in trouble as they sought to carry out the Lord's will and obey His word and row to the other side. Verse 48 tells us, and he saw them toiling and rowing. There's their trouble. For the wind was contrary unto them. We pointed out last week the word wind may be rendered winds. It's the same word we have in Revelation 7 and verse where it refers there to the four winds. And here the disciples found themselves in the midst of four winds. Opposition was coming at them from every direction, north, south, east, and west. Matthew says the ship was now in the midst of the sea, tossed with waves, for the wind was contrary. In other words, the wind was blowing against them, contrary to the direction they were going. In the Lord's work, many times the winds blow against us. We face the opposition. And the opposition blows against us. Goes the opposite direction to the way we are going. Find themselves in trouble. The trouble is seen in their darkness. John 6 and verse 17 we read that they entered into a ship and went over the sea towards Capernaum, and it was now dark. There they were in the midst of the sea, in the midst of a storm. The Savior wasn't in the ship with them, and it was dark. And the darkness prevented them seeing the shores of their destination. As they looked toward Capernaum, as they looked toward Bethsaida, they couldn't see their destination. And again, in the Lord's work, you engage in God's work, and sometimes you can't see the goal. You have it in your mind, but you can't see yourself ever reaching that goal, ever reaching that shore. I think of you serve the Lord. The minister of the gospel. And you have a goal set in your mind. You've been called, you've been summoned by the Lord to go and serve Him. And you toil and you labor for years. And you don't seem to be able to reach your goal. It's as if all is darkness and you can't see the shores of your destination. And I tell you, when that darkness descends, it's dark and deep. Not only were these disciples in the darkness and they couldn't see their destination, they couldn't see the shores of Bethsaida. Tell you something else, they couldn't see the Savior. That made it darker still. When you're in the Lord's work, there are those times when you cannot see the face of the Savior. I'm not kidding you, I'm not joking you, I'm telling you the truth. that you're engaged in this toiling and rowing, and you're rowing for all you're worth, laboring for all you're worth, and you can't see the face of the Lord. And in prayer you cry out, "Where is the Lord God of Elijah?" And the disciples had got into that ship armed with a promise from God, for the Lord told them that they were to go on before him. In other words, the Lord was promising that he would come to them. He would meet with them on the other side. So there they had the promise of the Lord. And they went forth on this venture, armed with the promise of the Lord. And where was the Lord? Where was the fulfillment of the promise? The Lord hadn't come. That's what we read. It was now dark and Jesus was not come to them. There's their desolation. The darkness and the desolation. And I don't know, believer, if you have ever experienced it, but I have. The desolation. And everything seems to be against you. You can't see the face of Christ. You wonder where the Lord is. Toiling and rowing. It's dark. And Jesus has not come to us. Oh, the desolation. That's what the disciples experience. And their difficulty. The disciples, as they rowed, found it very difficult to make any progress. This we know because we are told they were toiling and rowing, for the wind was contrary unto them. Wind was contrary. It's not as if these disciples were sleeping on their oars. It says they were toiling. They were toiling and rowing. The wind or winds contrary unto them. And sometimes that's how it goes. Sometimes you go through periods in your life when the sea is calm. And then there are those times when it's as if the four winds are blowing and they're all blowing against you. And you're toiling and you're laboring and you're working and praying as hard as you can. But you're not making any progress. And you cry out like Jacob, "All these things are against me." You cry out like David, "Has God forgotten to be gracious?" And then consider their distance. John 6 and verse 19 tells us, "So when they had rowed about 25 or 30 furlongs," they had just got over halfway. We're told they were in the midst of the sea. They were in the midst of the Sea of Galilee. They had just got over halfway. How long had they been rowing? Well, we know from Matthew 14 that they left the shores of Galilee at 6 p.m. the previous day, when it was evening, after the Lord had fed the 5,000 and fed 5,000 men, women, and children in 3 hours. And the disciples had gathered up all the fragments and filled the 12 baskets. It was then the Lord compelled the disciples to get into the ship. It was evening when they got into the ship. That is 6 p.m. And when the Lord did come to them, it was the fourth watch of the night, which is 3 a.m. How long had they been toiling and rowing? They'd been at the rowing for 9 hours. They hadn't got any further than halfway. As if they were making little or no progress. And sometimes in God's work you feel as if you're making little or no progress. And then their distress. All that had taken place that night had caused the disciples great distress. We see this in their toiling and rowing. We pointed out last week, the word toiling there is translated in Matthew 8, verse 6 and verse 29 as tormented. The disciples were tormented. As they toiled and rowed. As they rowed. And I can just imagine the disciples. Now when you think about it and meditate upon it, you see yourself there in the ship with them. And for 9 hours they've been rowing and rowing and rowing, and they're only over halfway. And they're tormented, we're told. I believe with all of my heart that they would have been tormented with doubt. Will the Lord ever come to me? Will the Lord ever come to us? He said He would come. But it was now dark. The Lord had not yet come. They would have been tormented with doubt. Tormented by fear. Will they ever reach the other side? And my, I tell you, the devil knows how to torment God's people and torment servants of the Lord and torment us with doubt. Will we ever be able to accomplish anything for God? And the doubts flood our minds, and those doubts torment us. Disciples were tormented. The night at sea was the absence of the Savior. Was the night at sea, and then there was the appearance of the stranger. For most of the night the disciples had been toiling and rowing, contending with the wind and the swelling waves and the darkness, contending with their doubts and their despair. It's a sense of defeat. It happens. It happens to every servant of God. You contend with the waves of defeat. Despair and doubt. But that which they found the most difficult to deal with was the absence of their Savior. But now He appears. But before He did, before He appeared unto the disciples, before they saw Him, we noticed His perception. Here in our text we read, and He saw them toiling and rowing. He saw them. Because of the darkness they couldn't see Him. But He was able to see them. And believer, when you and I lose sight of Christ, and the Lord Jesus betimes withdraws Himself into the shadows, and we can't see the Lord, always remember this, He sees you. He sees us. The Lord Jesus saw them when they couldn't see Him. And when you think of it, The Lord Jesus saw the disciples toiling and rowing when nobody else could see them. Not one soul on Galilee's shore, not one soul on the shores of Capernaum could see the disciples toiling and rowing because it was dark. The only one who saw them was Christ. Hallelujah. Isn't it good to know? We find ourselves toiling and rowing and go through the storms of life and we can't see Christ. And our nearest and dearest friends can't see us either and what we're suffering. And the torment of mind and heart. Praise the Lord, Jesus sees us. You can't beat that. He saw them toiling and rowing. But remember, we're told it was dark. How could he see them? It was dark. Didn't matter, the darkness didn't matter to Christ. Psalm 139, verses 11 and 12. If I say, surely the darkness shall cover me, even the night shall be light about me. Yea, the darkness hideth not from thee, but the night shineth as the day. The darkness and the light are both alike to thee. Hallelujah. For the Lord Jesus, who is omniscient, the darkest night to Christ is like the brightest day. He sees us when we're toiling and rowing. And then we notice his praying. Describing the scene, the evangelist John wrote, and it was now dark and Jesus was not come to them. They no doubt wondered why the Savior had not come to them to deliver them, to rescue them from this storm. No, he had not come to them. They might have said, where is the Lord? Where was the Lord? For 9 hours they had toiled and rowing. Where was the Lord? Mark 6, verse 46, and when he had sent them away, he departed into a mountain to pray. When they were toiling and rowing, the Savior was alone in the mountain praying, and no doubt praying for them. And dear Christian, when you find yourself toiling and rowing against contrary winds, and all is dark, and you can't see the face of the Lord, and no one else knows about your struggles and your labors, know this, that Jesus knows. And Jesus saves or sees, and as well as that, Jesus is praying for you. He's praying for you and he's praying for me when we're toiling and rowing against the contrary winds and we don't seem to be making any headway. Jesus is praying for us. And when others have forgotten to pray for us, Jesus is praying. When others neglect to pray for us, Jesus is praying. And when we ourselves don't feel like praying and don't want to pray, and when we don't pray, Christ is praying. Bless his lovely name. He'll never neglect his people when it comes to praying. the prayers of Christ. Not more value to us. Are there not more virtue in the prayers of Christ than a thousand saints praying? You feel nobody else is praying for you. Christ is. Because he ever liveth to make intercession for you and for me. He was praying and you have his path. According to our text, about the fourth watch of the night, he cometh unto them walking upon the sea. You must read carefully these words. Because they are sometimes misquoted. Look at what it says. And he saw them toiling and rowing, for the wind was contrary unto them. And about the fourth watch of the night he cometh unto them, walking upon the sea, and would have passed by them. Walking upon the sea. And many times have you heard people talk about the Lord walking upon the water. But you know something? That's not what it says in the Bible. Matthew doesn't say that. Neither does Mark. Neither does John. Neither does Luke. None of them tell us that Jesus walked on the water. They all say Jesus walked on the sea. What's the difference? There's a world of difference. It was Peter who walked on the water. Matthew's the only one who records that Peter got out of the boat and walked on the water. And the fact that it tells us Peter walked on the water teaches us that Peter's walk was limited to that space between the ship and Christ. Just that little stretch of water. But when we read about the Lord Jesus walking on the sea, it means that Christ could have walked anywhere on the Sea of Galilee. There was no limit to Christ walking. He could have walked in the Sea of Galilee. He could have walked in the Red Sea. Christ could walk in any sea because he's the master of the seas. And here were these waves that were posing the disciples so much trouble and so much heartache and discouragement and despair and defeat. And when Christ came to them, Christ came walking on those same waves. And you know, believer, no matter how great our problems may be like a 10-foot wave about to crash upon our little vessel. Remember this, Christ is the master of the seas. He walks on the highest waves and puts all our problems and all our difficulties under his feet. They never overwhelm Christ. They may overwhelm us, but they never overwhelm Christ. He's the master of the seas. Isn't that good to know? Isn't that good to know that the Lord Jesus can conquer any sea? He can conquer any wave. Turn to Psalm 93, verse 3. The floods have lifted up, O Lord, the floods have lifted up their voice. The floods lift up their waves. The Lord on high is mightier than the noise of many waters, yea, than the mighty waves of the sea. The Lord is mightier than the mighty waves of the sea. I tell you, He's the master of the seas. Yes, we see His path. He came to them walking on the sea. Regarding His path and His coming to them, we notice His weight. His weight. We are told that the Savior came to them about the fourth watch of the night. That's 3 a.m. Remember again, they had left the shores of Galilee at 6 p.m. the previous day. They'd been there in the waters for 9 hours. During those 9 hours, instead He came to them on the fourth watch of the night. Why did He wait so long? I believe it's most significant that we're given the exact time of the Lord's coming to the night, 3 a.m. So an emphasis here is placed on the time of the Lord's arrival, the time of the Lord's visitation of His disciples. And this teaches us something, believer, that if God is going to work in His church, He will work not according to our timetable, but His. His timetable. Charles Finney believed that somehow every church, every believer could manufacture revival. You only had to do this and this and this and the result, revival. Nonsense. Revival comes not in accordance with our timetable. It comes according to God's timetable. Just like His birth, when the fullness of time was come, God sent forth His Son. Fullness of time. And the Lord came to the disciples the fourth watch, 3 a.m., the Lord's time. And that's something that can lift up our spirits. To know that what we're involved in and what we're engaged in the service of the Lord, that the Lord will visit us in His time. Not ours. Let us just keep toiling and rowing. Let us keep pulling on the rowers. God will visit us in His time. Then you have His walk. The Lord had told His disciples, Mark 6, verse 45, to go to the other side before Him. They, I'm sure, wondered, as they were in the midst of the sea, toiling and rowing, I'm sure they wondered, how is the Lord going to come? We're only about halfway across. How is the Lord going to come to us? He told us to go on before Him. But when's He coming and how is He coming? He didn't know. All they knew that He was
going to come to them at some time or another. So it is in the Lord's work today. We wait for the Lord to come to us. We wait for Him to rescue us. We wait for Him to deliver us. We wait for Him to visit us. We wonder how He's going to come. We wonder when He's going to come. But the amazing thing is, the Lord came to the disciples in a way that they did not expect. He came to the disciples in a way that they looked not for. And believer, the Lord will bring us deliverance, and often brings us deliverance in a way that we look not for. How did He come and deliver the disciples? He came in a supernatural way. It was. Supernatural way. And God has often visited His people and delivered them in a supernatural way. How did He deliver Peter from prison? And you notice His way. We are told that when He came to them walking upon the sea, He would have passed by them. What do you think of that? He would have passed by them. They thought they'd seen a ghost. That's what the word there means. They saw a spirit. They thought it was a ghost. And He would have passed by them, but then we read in verse 49, they cried out. That's why the Lord would have passed by them. He wanted them to cry out. Do we not often sing, "Pass me not, O gentle Savior, hear my humble cry, while another's thou art calling, do not pass me by. Savior, Savior, hear my humble cry, while another's thou art calling. Lord, do not pass me by. Lord, don't pass this church by." The Lord wants us to cry out. He would pass us by. And will pass us by. He will. If we don't cry out. The disciples cried out. Is there not that fear in our hearts from time to time? The Lord will pass us by. Dread the thought. And we need to cry out. Will you cry out? Lord, don't pass us by. And that leads us now to consider His peace. As the Savior came to them, verse 50, they all saw Him and were troubled. So to calm their troubled spirits, we read about what the Lord did. And immediately He talked with them and saith unto them, "Be of good cheer, it is I, be not afraid." And dear Christian, you know, I would believe that you would know and know what I'm talking about when I say that when we're tossed by the waves of adversity and we're afraid and it's dark, all we need to hear and all we want to hear is a word from the Lord. Just a word. Just the Lord to talk with us. And immediately they were afraid, and immediately he talked with them. He talked with them. Child cries out in the night, afraid. Afraid of the darkness. Mom or dad goes into the bedroom, calls the child's name. That's all right. And the parents, mom and dad, talk to the child. It's all right. It's all they needed to hear was a word from mom or dad. And when we're toiling and roaring and everything's against us and it's dark and the waves of adversity roll, all we want is a word from the Lord. And that'll make everything right. That'll calm our fear. Need the Lord to talk to. And the word the disciples received from the Lord that day was a special word, for he said, "Be of good cheer. It is I, be not afraid." Be of good cheer. That's what Christ brings, isn't it? He brings cheer. Be of good cheer, it is I. Mark the words. Those words may be rendered another way. Those words may be translated, "I am." Be of good cheer, I am. The divine name for God. The name that Jehovah revealed to Moses. When Moses said, "Who will I tell Pharaoh? Who will I say has sent me to Pharaoh?" And Jehovah spoke to Moses and said, "Tell him I am sent you." And one day when the Lord Jesus was speaking to the Pharisees, he told them, "Before Abraham was, I am." And here's the Lord, and he comes to the disciples and he talks to them and he says, "Be of good cheer. It's all right. God is here. God is here. God has come to you." I think that's wonderful. And when we face the storms of life, we can depend on God coming to us. God, the great I Am. My, when you have the great I Am watching over you, when you have the great I Am praying for you, the great I Am seeing you toiling and rowing, the great I Am coming to you, the great I Am speaking to you, the great I Am walking on the waves. There's nothing to fear. No wonder the Lord said, "Be of good cheer. It is I, be not afraid." Don't be afraid. Don't be afraid. And finally, and very quickly, this night at sea, you have their acceptance of the faith. We're told in verse 51, "And he went up unto them into the ship, and the wind ceased, and they were sore amazed in themselves beyond measure, and wondered." There you have their welcome. They welcome Christ. "He went up unto them into the ship." I like the words. Doesn't just say he went into the ship, it says he went up unto them. He'd come to minister to them. He didn't send an angel, he came himself. came unto them. But John adds something that Matthew and Mark have excluded. So read in John 6, in verse 20, and he saith unto them, it is I, be not afraid. Then they willingly received him into the ship. Willingly. Of course they welcomed him with open arms. Willingly. After what they had been through. After what they had suffered. All those hours of toiling and rowing, and suddenly the Lord comes. And he speaks to them and he tells them, I am. It's here. And he went up unto them into the ship. And they willingly received him. Like receiving a long lost friend. And believer, when Christ comes to us and visits us, I tell you, we'll receive him willingly. Even so, come, Lord Jesus. I haven't time to look at it now, but you read the first four verses of the Song of Solomon, chapter 3. And the bride missed her beloved, and she longed for him. Told the daughters of Jerusalem, if you find him, tell him I am sick of love. And then it says, after a little while, she just had to go a little further, and she found him. Found him whom my soul loveth, and I held him, and I would not let him go. That's what it'll be like when Christ visits us. We'll hold him, we'll receive him willingly, and we'll not let him go. You have the welcome and you have the wind. And the other storm that the Lord Jesus went to the fire was with the disciples through. The Lord stood up and rebuked the winds. This time he didn't. Because when he got into the ship, the winds ceased. He willed that the winds would cease. It was the Lord's presence that made the difference. It's the Lord's presence that always makes the difference. And be in meetings. And there's a hardness in the meeting. There's no joy in the singing. It's hard to preach. The Lord's presence isn't there. But my, when he comes, manifests his presence, a different thing altogether. He's able to calm the storm. And those things that had raged against us for so long, suddenly have been put away just by the presence of Christ. You know, there are a number of miracles in this particular scene. The miracle of Christ walking on the sea. The miracle of Christ stilling the tempest just by his presence. But one more. You turn, please, to John 6. John 6, and again verse 20, but he saith unto them, it is I, be not afraid. Then they willingly received him into the ship, and immediately the ship was at the land, whither they went. See that? Immediately, the ship was at the land, whither they went. Immediately. Just in an instant, they were at the land. And I believe that. The disciples have been toiling and rowing for 9 hours. They've got just about over halfway. And when Christ came into the ship, the wind ceased, the sea was calm, and they were at their destination immediately. In an instant. That was a miracle. See, that's why we call him the master of the sea. He brought their ship to the land immediately through the sea. And the disciples had been struggling for so long to get to their destination, and when Christ came into the ship and did this great work, they reached their destination immediately. And we can struggle and toil and rowing and do the best we can. Do our duty. Serve the Lord with all the zeal and fervency that we can muster by the grace of God. And maybe not make a great deal of headway. But my, when Christ ministers, we can reach our goal immediately. God can fill this church immediately. Come. Because he is a great I am. Because he's the master of the... What a night that was. It was a night those disciples would never forget. May we have many nights like that. Nights we'll never forget. When Christ comes to us, reveals his power, his miracle working power, and do that which we have long desired, he can do it. May he come suddenly to his temple. Praise the Lord. Let's bow in prayer.